be reading the verses out of here. We talked about somewhere along the line something like this, a touch, but it's I'm going to talk to you about in our class here, in this particular class, because we have the couples class going on and the other classes all going on. We kind of have for the most part, a younger class or an unmarried class, especially, you know, we got all teenagers and younger folks who aren't married and different ages that aren't married. We keep the Huggins in here because I need David as my usher. People come in late and stuff, but most of you are like that. But I'll think this lesson is practical even if you are married. And so 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and I'm going to start at verse, 25. It says, "Now concerning virgins, I have no commandment of the Lord. I give my judgment as one that hath obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. I suppose, therefore, that it is good for the present distress, I say, that it is good for a man so to be." And, of course, in Paul's day, he's associating a virgin with not married, and they're synonymous, not so in our case always. Verse 26, "I suppose, therefore, that it is good for the present distress, the hard times that are happening in the world at that time, I say it is good for a man to be so. Art thou bound unto a wife? Seek not to be loosed. Art thou loosed unto a wife? Seek not a wife. But and if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. And if a virgin marries, she hath not sinned. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh, but I spare you. But this I say, brethren," and of course he's talking here, during this time they were killing Christians and putting them in jail and doing all kinds of persecution, and they were losing their jobs and such. And so he's saying, hey, if you're married, you just understand it's going to be a harder time, just because your husband might get put in jail, you might get put in jail, a wife might get put in jail, your kids might suffer for the gospel. And so verse 20, "But if thou marry, thou hast not sinned, but if a virgin marry, she hath not sinned. Nevertheless, they shall have trouble in the flesh. But I spare you, this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none, and they that weep as though they wept not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoice not, and they that buy as though they possess not. And they that use this world not as abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away. But I would have you without carefulness." The word carefulness means worry, anxiety, a bunch of cares, full of care. "No matter what your situation, I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how that he may please his wife." And so let me go ahead and read a couple more verses. "There is a difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy in both in body and spirit," and that's important for marriage. "But she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. And this I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely, that ye may attend upon the Lord without distraction." And that's where I want to focus today, just a couple things in this whole passage. The whole passage is teaching the same thing, but it's summed up in two phrases. Verse 35, at the end of the verse says, "Ye may attend upon the Lord without distraction." And then where he says, let me go back up here. Verse 32, "But I would that ye be without carefulness," full of worry and stuff. So I'll talk today about the unencumbered life, how not to be weighed down and everything with life. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I pray you'd help me to teach now, Lord, how to be guided in our lives, but to be nimble in our lives so we can follow your leadership, Lord. We need the Holy Spirit to be our teacher and guide. Help us to be full of the Holy Spirit and on fire for you. And Lord, help us to be able to follow that fire wherever it is, because we have not filled our life and with cares, Lord. And help us to be free to serve you and however you lead, Lord. We pray you do a great work in all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, a lot of things here. It says he wishes everyone could be without cares in verse 32. He wishes everybody could be without distraction in verse 35. And then he talks all about marriage, and he says marriage is fine. If you're married, that's great. And the Bible says, "Whosoever findeth a wife findeth a good thing and attaineth favor of the Lord." And, of course, in the Bible, it was wonderful and glorious to be married. But Paul looked around in the world that he lived in, and he said, you ought to live right now as if you have no burdens or weights or things to carry about, care about, because it is a crazy world. And so he says he wished everybody could be without that kind of care. He had an urgent mindset, verse 29, but I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none, and they that weep as though they wept not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoice not, and they that buy as though they possess not. He had an urgent mindset for serving God. He wanted them to be unencumbered. Unencumbered is weighed down in life, not worried about things. It says, you who are married, it's great you're married, but you have to care for, if you're a husband, you have to care about how to please your wife. And if you're married, it's great, but you have to care about how to please your husband. If you have children, you have to take them into consideration of every single one of your decisions. And so let's say God called you to, say, go to Iran. Well, you have concerns there. It's very dangerous. And they're not open to letting you openly preach the gospel. They might let you live in Iran. Some countries like Saudi Arabia, they might kill you right away. Iran, they might kill you right away. But you have to say, you know what, wait a minute, I'm bringing my whole family here. It talks about financially. It talks about all the different areas of life. And you've got to worry about, am I making my spouse happy? Because God wants me to please them in all things. And am I pleasing them? If a single person, and many are single, if you're single, if I was single, I could quit my job and I could just go grab a backpack and start hitchhiking to Mexico and just win people to Christ along the highway, and just, I could sleep out in the forest, I could put a little tent in my backpack and go all the way down, and I could say, I'm going to go all the way to the bottom tip of South America, just hitchhike all the way through, grab a passport, and just meet people, witness to people, I'll find enough food along the way, no big deal. Try that with a family of eight. I don't think God would be in that. That would not be pleasing to them, easy to them, possible, and being considerate, that is not that. And so you see, there it's, hey, how many people can my family win to Christ? That's a huge benefit. My kids can grow up and serve the Lord. Timmy won two people to Christ yesterday. Josiah won one, and praise the Lord for that. They can do great things for God, and that's a great thing. But you understand, your things in life change as you pick up things. You can run and go really quick and really nimbly in life in certain situations, and sometimes you can't. And it's not just married, but the context here is married. Jesus wanted unencumbered or unweighed down disciples. He wanted people who weren't held up by things in life. Many people say, humans generally, especially Americans, we live our whole life wishing we were at some other point. That's kind of how we live our whole life. When we're young, we can't wait till we get older. When we're older, we wish we were younger. When we're single, we can't wait to get married. When we're married, we wish we were single. When we have kids, we shouldn't have kids. Human nature is discontent. We, by nature, are gripers. And most people never get happy where they are. Learn to be happy with your circumstance. If you're single, don't just say, well, I'll be happy as soon as I get married. Be happy while you're single. There's a lot of things you can do while you're single. If you're married, be happy you're married. There's a lot of things that you can do and benefits to marriage that there aren't with being single. But learn to enjoy every point of your life. And this message, a lot of this message is to those who are single, because you are very unencumbered. Jesus wanted his disciples like that. Go back to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. Jesus wanted the disciples just to be free to go do whatever he led them to do. And Luke 9, at the end of the chapter, verse 57. It says, and it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head, despite what some prosperity preachers say that Jesus was very wealthy. He didn't have a place to lay his head. He was worse off than animals. He was homeless. And it says, you know what? If you want to follow me, you're not going to have it. You're going to be sleeping outside in all these things. And verse 59 then said another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. And Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. Now, that seems kind of cruel. I'll follow you, Jesus. Just go let me bury my dead. But go bury my dead father. But he says, you know what? I want you to just be able to say, yes, sir, go. So I'm going to put you to a test right now before you start following me. I want you to just leave there and let the dead bury their dead. I want you to come with you right now. He wanted them to be able to just like that, follow Jesus. Just like that, follow Jesus. Just like that, follow Jesus. Many of us, that's one reason when I really was struck as I was in the Philippines a few years back, how that the Filipinos and how many people around the world can do so much of a better job of reaching the world than Americans. There's a lot of reasons for that, but the biggest reason is they just don't have the baggage that we have. They don't have all the things they carry that we have to carry. They can. They don't have a mortgage. They don't have a car. I mean, it's amazing that a Filipino, even a family, they live on their parents' property in some little hut. And you know what? To walk away from that hut today, it's not going to make any difference. They don't have property taxes. They don't. I mean, it's just a different world. And they're of course used to those conditions. We are not used to those conditions. We are the people who are the worst missionaries in the world. However, we have the finances to do it and the initiative to do it, so God uses us around the world. Yet Americans are not the natural missionaries because they're so encumbered with things. Our health is different. We don't have the immune systems they do. We have so many considerations. And Jesus said, I just want you to be able to go just like that. Do whatever I say. Do whatever I say. Do whatever I say. Verse 61, another said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first bid them farewell, which are at home my house. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine if Jesus told you today, I want you to go to, we'd use Mexico. I want you to go to Ecuador and go down to South America and go to Ecuador. And you said, okay, Lord, I'll go tell my family. He said, don't tell your family. Just go right now. Just go down the road. Boy, that would be weird, wouldn't it? That'd be tough. And Jesus who said, love your family, and Jesus who said you should be kind and respect your family, he's the same one who said, let me just make sure you don't have a bunch of strings tying you to everything. A wise pastor one time told me, we were talking about a pastor who just left the ministry, and he said, you know, that guy has a very heavy ties to back home. He calls the back home constantly, 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 constantly. He is very tied to them back home. And you know what? Whenever you have that umbilical cord to somewhere else, and you just are connected and tied to people and home and everything else back home, you usually will go back there. And you won't stay a lifetime somewhere else. And that man did. He left the ministry and went back to where all of his ties were. And I always recommend if someone's going to come and come start a church here, don't keep all your, I mean, call your family, tell them you love them, call mother for Mother's Day and all that stuff, but you are here now. Just like when you get married, you are now married your spouse. You're not married, still connected to your mom and dad. You leave and cleave. And so Jesus said, I don't want you all connected to this world where you are all weighed down with all kinds of things. And so Paul said, I recommend to you, in that passage in 1 Corinthians 7, I recommend to you that you are free to serve me. When I was a teenager, we used to do some things that probably I wouldn't do now. We would, I still might do some of it. I still do a lot of it. But, you know, it's so easy to just go whenever I wanted to. The whole summer, I had nothing to do. You know what it's like to have nothing to do when you're 16? You can get a whole bunch of trouble, or if you want to work for God, you can get a lot of good stuff done. And you know what? We would just go all day. Sometimes we would go and do things for the Lord all day long. We had the energy and we had the time. We had nothing better to do. And you'd find us witnessing 11 o'clock at night, going down in the weird neighborhoods and going down Highway 99 down in Oregon. Why? Because we had nothing tying us down, nothing else to do with our life, and we were just free to do that kind of stuff. Let me give you some things. And a good example of this in the Bible, by the way, is a rich young ruler. He was so full of things and money and wealth, and Jesus said, fine, follow me. You want to inherit eternal life? He said, go sell all you have, give it to the poor, and follow me. And you won't have anything holding you down while you follow me. And he said, oh, I can't do that. And he was very encumbered. If God leads you, if you want to be guided by God, you need to be free to God. Things you can do when you're not tied down. Number one, go anywhere, anytime. It's easy enough, isn't it? Go anywhere, anytime. It's easy to do anything that you should do. And by the way, if you're single, you, by nature, should be doing more for God. You should pray more, witness more, do all the things for God more, because you have a more of a free life. You should go to church every service and all those things. For example, you can pray all night. You can pray all night. By the way, unemployed people. Boy, and again, a job is a responsibility that you have, and it changes your whole life. You can't necessarily pray all night when you got to go to work in the morning. But if when people are unemployed, they should do more for God. When you're younger and you don't have a job yet, you should do more for God. You could go on a crazy missions trip. You could go with minimal provision or planning. You can go day and night and not have to worry about checking in with anybody. A married person should check in with their spouse. If I decide I'm going to go and go pray all night tonight, well, my wife's going to be really worried if I don't show up. I need to tell her that. I need to be awake and alert enough to spend time with my family. Again, you've got to do that. You could give all your money away. If you're not just married, but in life unencumbered with a bunch of things, you can give everything you have away, and it's no big deal. But a lot of people in America, it would be unethical to give all you have away because you've made financial responsibilities. And you can't just give everything you have away. Or you don't have anything. Or a million different situations. So you can see all the things you can do. So how do you not tie your life? Things that tie you down in life. Let me just give you things that tie you down in life so we can avoid these things. First of all, we covered already, according to 1 Corinthians 7, marriage. Marriage says they that are married must care for the things of their spouse. And understand that, and this is not just a spiritual life, but this is in serving God, but this is in marriage also. Understand that when you say, I do, you will be tying yourself down. It's very important in marriage. That's a good thing. That's an honorable thing. The Bible says, if a man can't marry, let him, if he burns, let him marry. It's a good thing to be married. I'm talking right now to you about being encumbered and being held down. When you get married, you just change your relationship in a whole bunch of things with every person of the opposite gender in the world. Okay? It changes everything. You are no longer tied if you're a man and you get married. You're not tied to your mom in the same way. You're not tied to every other woman in the same way. You no longer probably will really have close friends who are ladies. Well, I don't think he ought to stop, or I don't think that she ought to stop me from having all those ladies be my close friends. Well, if you're getting married, you need to talk to her about that. And if she wants you to, the Bible says how that he may please his wife. It's very important that you realize you are making a commitment that's going to cost something and going to change things. It means that you've got to consider them in your schedule. You've got to make time for them. Well, I'm just going to give all my time to the Lord. Well, then you shouldn't get married because you need to spend time with your spouse. You shouldn't have kids if you aren't willing to spend time with them. And that is part of the deal. It's a package deal. It's a wonderful deal. It's an important deal. It gives us godly children and gives us a godly spouse, and we can serve the Lord together, and sometimes we strengthen each other and become greater because we're married and better Christians. But understand, you are taking on a responsibility that adds a whole bunch of things. And by the way, the Bible says if a man won't provide for his own, he is worse than an infidel and has denied the faith. That's why I never, never recommend a girl marry a guy who cannot provide for them. If he's not ahead financially single, trust me, he's not going to be ahead financially married. Well, he's just had some bad luck. He'll be having bad luck for 40 years. You need to find a man who can provide for you, ladies, because that's part of his responsibility. Men, if you're not ready to provide for a family, and it costs, no, I'll just have her work all the time and we'll have more money. It don't work that way. It just doesn't. You need to realize I am taking on a financial responsibility that's going to change. Well, I want to be able to go play this and do this and mess around and do this the whole time. Then stay single and go mess around and play around and blow all your money. That's fine. Nothing wrong with that. But understand, you can't do that when you're married. and it changed your finances, it changed your relationship. I think of how I was, we were driving, not this year, but the last year in the youth conference. And some reason we had to pull off at a gas station, and I couldn't find the gas station, and we ended up at the gas station. It was just, it was in a decent part of town, but just all the thugs of that area decided to hang out in front of that gas station and just blare their music, and they just parked the cars right in front of the gas station. And I said, do you always have to go walk through this to get in your gas station? And she said, well, they won't leave, and da-da-da-da-da, and, you know, this and that. And so I went in, we got whatever we had to get and did what we had to do. And on the way out, apparently one of them said something to my wife that was very rude. And my wife came to me and said, I think that guy just said something really bad. And I said, what did he say to you? And I started getting the flesh there. And she wouldn't tell me because she saw the look in my eyes. She grabbed my shoulder, honey, just relax. And I wanted to go back there. And then I realized I'm driving with 6 teenagers and my wife, and there's nobody else around. And I might go be Mr. Macho, but what if they shoot me and them? I thought, you know what? This is not the place to go beat this guy up. I'll meet him later. I said, this is not the right place to do this, and it's not the right place. And I said, okay, I'll drive away. Why? Because if I was alone or if I was in a different circumstance, it might be a different thing. But you know what? Parents would trust me with their kids. I had my family with me. It wasn't the right situation to go walk up and talk to this guy. And so wisdom is a better part of valor. Discretion is. And so understand, I had different responsibilities, so I had to take care of those responsibilities. And so that's part of understanding that. Number two things that tie you down, that make it so you aren't as free, we talked a little bit about last week, is debt. Is debt. If you have debt, you are stuck. You can't ethically go anywhere God calls you. You got to get rid of your debt. And debt ties you down. It changes your plans. It keeps you from giving. It does a bunch of things. And debt is a thing that keeps you encumbered. And that's why even the rich young ruler, he just had a lot of money and he was still encumbered. And next thing, cares of this world. Let's go to Matthew 13. The cares of this world will tie you down and keep you from being free from God guiding you and leading you. The cares of this world. Matthew 13. Matthew 13 and verse 22. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the world, and he becometh unfruitful. The cares of this world. When I served God, when I started serving God as a young person, I had a lot of things that I loved and were interested in and cared about. They were just things that interested me. There was a lot of things in this world, and it was cars, and it was this and that, and I knew way too much information about too many things that didn't matter. I mean, I could tell you so many things about muscle cars and this car and new cars and Ferraris and Lamborghinis, and yeah, I got into that stuff, and I got into all kinds of little things. I had a lot of those things. I started serving God. I kind of got too busy for a lot of hobbies and a lot of things that interested me, and video games and things I just had a lot of interest in. My mind was on a lot. And, you know, I think those things would have weighed me down and slowed me down. And luckily, the Lord just kind of removed them. I find that people have too much attachment to too many things. I mean, and by the way, the hobbies are fine. Doing things are fine. I think it's good to have something to distract your mind. But when you get consumed with it, you know, take for example, we went golfing last week, and you know, golfing's fine, probably good for us. You need to get in shape and good things. I like golfing a lot, but you know, there's people who are consumed with golfing, and when golfing comes in on Sunday, they don't go to church. And you know what? When all of a sudden they've got to be with their friends and this and that, and all of a sudden there's something to do for the Lord, and well, that's the time I always go golfing. And they spent so much money on golfing. You know the crazy thing? God, if God said, I want you to quit golfing, they are so consumed with it and they've spent so much money on it that they can't even stop it. I know Christians are out like that right now with quads. Little four-wheelers. They love them so much, and it's such a we do it as a family. And so and the only time we can do it is on the weekend, and they do not go to church simply to ride their quads. You're too much into it. You're too much into it. You can get invested in things. It's the only chance I have to do it is on Sunday, or God tells you to work on it. And the things of this world, the things I'm trying to achieve, I'm trying to get this car, I've been dreaming of my whole life, I'm trying to get this house, I'm trying to get this thing, and we become consumed with things we've got to have. And by the way, if you've never done that yet, you'll do it at some point. Something will get in your mind you've got to have, you've got to do, you love doing, and it'll consume you, and you will forget how much you even spend on it. And people will be tapping on the shoulder, hey man, you know how much money you're spending on that? And you can spend a lot of money. One of the funniest things to me in the world is how much money you can spend on how many things. I mean, you can go golfing, or you can be a golfer. I mean, you can buy, my putter broke. And I was looking at putters. You know how much money you can spend on a putter? A putter! Not a fancy, gigantic club with this and that. I mean, you can spend $400 on a putter. And somebody else, you know, you can play video games or you can be a gamer. You know how much money they spend on, those guys spend on a joystick? You know how much people spend on some stuff? And you get consumed with it, and all of a sudden you got to have the best of this and the best of that. And then you got to, oh, it's amazing. Sports becomes like that. TV becomes like that. Everything. And by the way, whoever thought we would spend thousands of dollars on televisions? You know how much money people spend on televisions? It's amazing. I'll never forget, and I haven't told the story in a long time, but we had my first missions trip. We had a missionary who had the worst needs. I mean, their daughter had brain damage and went into seizures, and they couldn't even barely afford the medicine. We had to help them with that. They didn't have any homeschooling stuff for their kids. They had financial pressures everywhere. They couldn't do anything at the church. And we were going to, as my first mission trip, and I planned for 3 months to raise money. I promoted it. We're going to raise money to help them. They need this. They are in financial dire straits. And it was a big thing, and we raised the money. We went to raise the money. We're going to have one big offering for that. And we promoted it for months. And got ready for the missions trip, bought the ticket, and we had the offering, and we got $74. Well, my ticket was $600. The homeschooling stuff was over $500. And I thought, man, everybody's broke, except for the Saturday before, the day before the offering, one of the guys in the church who had a big TV, I watched football on his TV. He went and he needed a bigger TV, and he bought a $1,700 TV the day before the offering. And another guy went with him, and he bought a $400 camera. And I thought, oh my soul, here's these missionaries suffering. I'm just going to move a big TV to my kids' room, and I'll put the giant one that's huge and has all these features. And the worst thing was they sat there and bragged about that and showed me the TV, not understanding. I was stunned because we were trying to help missionaries right then. And your old TV wasn't broken down. And I thought, you know what? Your priorities and your life and cares are so different from mine. You're encumbered with watching TV. And I think you can do that with things of this world and the cares of this world. The Trock family and the Klein family, who take their family of 10 and their family of 13 off to a different continent, and can leave their house and their job and their career and everything else and just say goodbye, are rare people in America. They're rare people. Most people cannot do that. They've got too much invested in their life and their time and everything else. And so the cares of this world. Next, the cares for your life. Matthew 10, let's go back a chapter or two there. The cares for your life. Matthew 10:38. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. We could talk all day about persecution and Christians being killed. There were more Christians, understand, there were more Christians killed for the gospel in the 20th century than all the centuries combined. a part of that's population, but you know what? They're being killed in China, killed in Muslim countries, killed in the Soviet Union, left and right. And you know what? If you just care that you live so much that you aren't willing to die for God, who is willing to die for you, then you're too encumbered with your life. You care too much about your life itself. You should be willing, if the government came in today with guns and said, leave church now and renounce Christ or we're going to kill you, you should say, go ahead and fire because I'm not going to do it. But if you care about your life and you care about, I want to live and I got plans and I got dreams, you are not free and unencumbered to serve God. The cares of your life, the cares for what you do, the cares of your dreams. Do not let your dreams and your life and your plans and life itself stop you from serving God. Let your life be so much God's that nothing will get you out of His will. Nothing will get you destroyed. I think of Joe Boyd. Joe Boyd was the most popular guy in his town. He grew up an incredible athlete, and he went to Texas A&M at the time, which was the big university. Joe Boyd was All-American on offense and defense as a guard in football, which means he was first-team All-American, which means he was a number one player at that position in America. He was also the champion of boxing, the champion of wrestling at his college. And his college team won the national championship, and he was first-team All-American. Joe Boyd was called to preach when he was a teenager at 16, but he just had so many skills and so many talents and was so gifted that he just wanted to go do his own thing. He wanted to play in the NFL, and he was drafted in the first round of the NFL. And Joe Boyd had everything, drafted by the Washington Redskins. I saw Joe Boyd in his 70s. Joe Boyd was still a huge, strapping, muscular man in his 70s. Probably 6'3", just a handsome, just a had everything going for him. And he got drafted into the first round by the Washington Redskins, go in the NFL, had his dream come true. And they were doing a physical on him, and he said his neck hurt, and they x-ray in his neck, and his neck was cracked. And the doctor said, if you play in the NFL, one hit wrong in the head, and you are paralyzed for life. And he said, well, I'll go into business then. But boy, you know what? God was after him. And God got him. By the time he was 24 years old, God had worked over his life and convicted him and said, "You need." He was saved. He was a born-again Christian, was called to ministry. And God got a hold of him and said, you need to go into ministry. Joe Boyd lost all of his dreams, all of his plans. Then he decided he was going to be very wealthy. He had such a name, he could make a lot of money, and everybody wanted to do business with him. But he gave it all up and went into ministry. And he made 60 years as an evangelist in the gospel ministry, traveling around America, preaching the gospel, and around the world. 60 years before he died, pushing 90 years old, just about 2 years ago, Joe Boyd died. But you know what? He got rid of his dreams to serve God. And he was willing to do whatever God had planned for him to do. And that's not everybody's God's plan for everybody. But do not let your dreams become so strong or your plans become so entrenched that you can't serve God. Things to do. Now, let me give you this. Things you can do. How do I keep my life from getting all bogged down so that if God tells me what to do, I can just right then say, yes, Lord. Let me just give you a few things. Number one, live hard for God while you are unencumbered. Live hard for God while you're unencumbered. That is very important. While you can, when you have the opportunity, when you're young, when you're free, when your life is not in a mortgage and your life is not making a car payment, your life is not a bunch of relationships and times and commitments and jobs, when your life is free, do what God wants you to do and stay very busy for God. Number two, marry someone who will not over-control or demand. That's very important there. You know what's wonderful? I've got the best of both worlds. I'm married, and my family wants me to serve God. I've got the best of both worlds. If I told my wife today, and I would have to tell her, I'd say, honey, I'm going to pray all night tonight. Do you want to join me? She would say, no, but you can. But she would tell me, yes, she wouldn't say, no, why don't you do that? Now, she might want to be with me. We like each other and everything, but you know what? She doesn't hinder me. Sometimes I want to go on a missions trip, and she's like, swallows hard and says, what do you think God wants you to do? And she lets me go because she wants me to do what God's will is for my life. That is a wonderful thing, to be married to someone who's not going to encumber you and hold you back. And by the way, there's a whole bunch of people who are like that. The demanding spouses, the you got to do this, you got to be here, you can't do that, don't do that, Don't give your money away. We need that money to go buy something nicer. I want this. I want that. Boy, you're going to find yourself weighed down in life married to someone like that, and you're not free. They're going to nag you. And by the way, it won't just be in spiritual things. I'll do it in everything. The guy I want to go spend time with the guys, you can't do that, and you need to be home and doing chores. Man, you're a wimp, and you married bad. And same thing with a man. Won't let her go do anything, won't give her any money, won't let her be free at all. And marry someone who will not over-control you or over-demand. And then, by the way, there are things that you should do morally. They say you shouldn't go talk to that lady and spend time with her, then you shouldn't, and all those things like that, obviously. You should let them protect you. Number three, always make sure you're willing. Always make sure you're willing. When a missionary comes here and talks about being willing to serve God and going to the mission field, or where, and we talk about the mission field a lot, but whatever God calls you to do, you got to ask yourself, am I willing? Would I do this if God called me to do it? If God calls you to preach this morning, would I do it? If God told you to do something, would you do it? Ask yourself if you're willing. And then, of course, we said earlier, keep yourself ahead in your financial responsibilities. And don't be foolish with your finances. And those things will keep your life free to serve God and free to do whatever God wants you to do. You can go witnessing. You can read your Bible. You can pray. You can go to church when you want to. I know I talked to someone who was called to ministry and never went to the ministry and forsook their calling. And hopefully they'll do that. I also know their pastor that pastored them. And I was talking to their pastor about it, and I said, man, the guy's a great guy, man, but he just gave it up on the ministry. And he said, his wife. His wife demands his attention and his time and kept feeling that, you know what, he's gonna not have time for me, and you know what, I want him to be paying attention to me, and I need this, and I want this, and that looked like a hard life, and I want this, and I want this. And she nagged him and pushed him. And he finally said, you know what, I'm not going to go to the ministry. I'm just going to go work a job. I need to provide for my family. He's more than providing for the family, but she demanded a lot. You know, he just said, you know, I'm sorry. And by the way, thousands of people will burn in hell because of her. And she'll stand in front of God that way. He was encumbered by a bad wife. Many women are encumbered by a bad husband. Many people find things in their life that are big anchors, and they drag along in life. Don't do that. Live your life in a way that you are free to do whatever the Lord calls you to do, and you're free to just serve Him, give your life to. If God ever calls you to the foreign mission field, there's a church here that needs you involved. And you got to have some time and some freedom and some financial freedom and some time freedom to do what God wants you to do. Do not become encumbered with this life. If you already are, try to dig out of it and become as unencumbered as you can. And you'll be glad you did. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, I pray you'd help us to be like the disciples that Jesus demanded. Just come with me. Just follow me. Like the fishermen, Lord, what an amazing thing. He said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And they left their boats. What a wonderful thing when Christians are free to just do what you want. And Lord, you don't want us concerned with the cares of this world and consumed with things of this world and things that weigh us down and bog us down. Help us be free to serve you and on fire for you, because the time is short for us. And I pray you just help us be living fully and passionately for Jesus. And I pray you'd use us in a great way. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're going to be back. And